Hey, this is David Kaufman here, the voice of Jimmy Olsen from Superman the Animated Series, and you are listening to Superman the Animated Podcast.
So, previously on Superman the Animated Podcast, I talked about episode 14 of season 2 of Superman the Animated Series titled Ghost in the Machine. In this episode, Brainiac's consciousness takes control of LexCorp's computer systems and traps Luthor in his own laboratory, forcing him to rebuild Brainiac's primary body in secret. After Clark questions why Lex is missing from his office, Superman and Mercy Graves team up to investigate his disappearance. If you haven't heard this episode because you are either new to the podcast or if you missed it, please. After listening to this episode, go back and have a listen, or you can listen now and come back to this episode. It's okay, I'll wait. Also, now that you're back, hopefully you enjoyed the previous episode, and for those who stayed, here is the next episode of Superman the Animated Podcast. And welcome to Superman the Animated Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan McKenzie. In this podcast, I'm currently talking about Superman the Animated Series. I'll talk about the creators behind the episode, talk about the voice actors, actresses in the episode, go into detail if it's a new voice actor or actress. I'll talk a little bit about what other roles they have done and what they're most famous for. Also talk about the characters, the voice actors, actresses are providing their voice talents to involved in the particular episode, let you know who they are and who created them. If there is no new character for this episode, I will speak about other characters that I haven't discussed as of yet. I have a very special guest on today's episode. My guest today is Mr. Stephen Biscotti. He is the host of the Saturday Morning Superman Show, a podcast about Superman and animation. I want to have a guest on the podcast for quite some time now, and who other than talk about Superman the Animated Series than Stephen himself. So let's get into this week's episode talking about Superman the Animated Series, Season 2, Episode 15, titled Father's Day. The episode aired on the 3rd of October, 1997. Dan Reaver returns as the director, having already directed 7 previous episodes. Writers returning for this episode include Paul Dini, Hilary Bader, Stan Berkowitz, Alan Burnett, Bob Goodman, Mark Evania, and introducing for the first time, Steve Gerber. Having Alexander returns as the associate producer, along with the talents of Alan Burnett, Paul Dini, and Bruce Timm as producers. The executive producer for this episode is Jim McCurdy, who also returns. Shirley Walker is the composer for music for her first episode of the series. Leslie Lamer returns as the casting director, having already been casting director for 21 previous episodes. Glenn Murakami returns as the art director, having already been the art director for 24 previous episodes. This episode again is edited by L. Breitenbach and Bradford Keats. Returning voice actors for this episode include Tim Daly as Superman Clark Kent, Dana Delaney as Lois Lane, George Zunza as Perry White, David Kaufman as Jimmy Olsen, Bruce Weitz as Bruno Mannheim, Shelley Fabris as Martha Kent, and Mike Farrell as Jonathan Kent. New voice actors for this episode include Michael Ironside as Darkseid. Michael first appeared in Season 1, episode titled Tools of the Trade, but I wasn't able to do that episode. Hopefully one day I'll be able to do that in the future. Robert Morse as Desaad, and Michael Dorn as Kalibak. The first voice actor I want to talk about this episode is Michael Ironside, who voices Darkseid. So Michael was born on the 12th of February 1950 in Ontario, Toronto, Canada. He is known for his roles in movies such as Top Gun, starring alongside Tom Cruise as the character Jester. That's where I was first introduced to Michael Ironside. Total Recall alongside Arnold Schwarzenegger as the character Richter, and also the movie Starship Troopers, in which Clancy Brown was also involved, playing the character Gene Ratchez. Michael voiced his character Darkseid in 7 episodes of Superman the Animated Series. The second actor I wanted to talk about is Robert Morse, who voices Desaad. Robert was born on the 18th of May in 1931 in Newtown, Massachusetts, USA. He is known for his roles in movies such as The Loved One, as the character Dennis Barlow, the TV series American Playhouse, in one episode playing the character Truman Capote, and also the TV series Mad Men, playing the character Bertram Cooper, playing alongside John Hamm. Robert voiced his character Desaad only for this particular episode. The final voice actor I want to talk about is Michael Dorn, who voices Kalibak. So Michael Dorn was born on the 9th of December in 1952 in Luling, Texas, USA. He's most commonly known for his character Worf in the TV series Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and 5 of the Star Trek movies. Michael voiced his character Kalibak in 7 episodes of Superman The Animated Series. There are several new characters for this episode, and some I haven't spoken about. I wanted to talk firstly about Darkseid. So Darkseid is a fictional character appearing in DC Comics. The character first appeared in Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 134, in November of 1970, and was created by Jack Kirby. His alter ego is Uxus. Species is classified as a new god. Place of origin is Apocalypse. Team affiliations include Darkseid's Elite, Female Furies, Legion of Doom, Intergang, Secret Society of Supervillains. Notable aliases is Dark God and Lord of Apocalypse. Abilities is Omnipotence, Superhuman Strength, Speed, Stamina, Durability, Agility, Immortality, Flight, Teleportation, Telepathy, Telekinesis, Invulnerability, Omega. Our powers including Projection of Omega Beams, Skilled Hand-to-Hand Combat, and Genius Level Tactician. Alright, now on to Desaad. So Desaad is a fictional character appearing in DC Comics. First appeared in Forever People number 2 in May of 1971 and was created by Jack Kirby. His alter ego is Desaad. Species is classified as a new god. Place of origin is Apocalypse, formerly of New Genesis. Team affiliations include Darkseid's Elite. Notable aliases is Dr. Desaad, God of Torture, Grand Director. Abilities include Immortality, Superhuman Strength, Endurances, Reflexes, Powers of Telepathy, Emotion, Emotion of Control, Energy Absorption and Teleportation, Brilliant Inventor of Weapons and Torture Devices. And last but not least, Kalibak. So Kalibak is a fictional character appearing in DC Comics. First appeared in New Gods number 1 in February of 1971 and again was created by Jack Kirby. Species is a new god. Place of origin is Apocalypse. Team affiliations include Darkseid's Elite. Notable aliases is Kalibak the Cruel, or Scourge of Apocalypse. And abilities include Immortality, Superhuman Strength, Endurance, Durability, Speed, Reflexes, and a Skilled Fighter. All right, before we get into the episode, let's introduce my special guest, Mr. Stephen Biscotti. Welcome, Stephen, to the episode.
Hey everyone, I'm Stephen Biscotti, the Saturday Morning Superman Show. Thank you for having me, Nathan. I'm so excited to be here, and I can't wait to talk about Superman with you.
Thanks again, Stephen, for being here. Like you said, I found you from listening to your podcast and your love for Superman. So can you please tell myself and the listeners your love for Superman, and especially your love for Superman, the animated space?
Of course. Yeah, no. I'm 31. And so I grew up with all of the great cartoons like Batman animated series, Superman animated series, and even like the Marvel stuff that was going on. I was a big Batman fan as a kid, especially because I grew up with those films. And so the Christopher Reeve, Richard Donner films, I was a little more in the shadow of. But it was about a year before Man of Steel came out that at my local comic shop in Parcells, Queens, Royal Collectibles, they got in these promo Superman bookmarks, and it was like nine essential reads before you see the movie. And it was like a list of like all the essential Superman graphic novels, like Superman for Tomorrow, Superman for All Seasons, Superman Birthright, Superman Red Sun. And all these different like top tier graphic novels that you should read that celebrate Superman. And so I took it upon myself to read all of them. And so I went through all of them. I was going to my comic shop almost every day, picking up a new one. And then I was like, you know what? I want to read more about Superman, but I want to go back to the beginning. So I went and found the Superman like DC Chronicles. They were almost kind of like the Marvel Essentials editions. They don't still publish them. But it was like Superman Chronicles Volume 1 through, I forgot how many they did. And so I kind of tried to take it upon myself to read everything Superman collected in trade paperback or hardcover from 1938 to modern day, which was the New 52 that had just started. And then, I was immersed in the character, and it, you know, I've said it on my show that, you know, it was kind of like a religion for me. And leading up to Man of Steel, the June 14th release, which interestingly enough, we're recording this on the 7-year anniversary of the first sneak preview showing here of Man of Steel. My mom and I, we watched all 54 episodes of the Superman the Animated Series one a day leading up to the release of Man of Steel. It was something that we would always do with the Nolan Batman movies, where we would watch one episode a night of the animated series leading up to the film's release. And that was the first time that I had appropriately watched Superman the Animated Series, all 54 episodes in total. And I truly just, I fell in love with the character. Tim Daly's voice work, you know, he became Superman for me. I mean, it's Bruce Timm, you can't go wrong with him and with the assembly of talented people that came together on that show. The Shirley Walker theme. And so Superman at that time really became my favorite superhero of all time, still is. And Superman the Animated Series was really cemented as like my favorite incarnation of the character. And I love Superman from TV. I love him in the movies. Cavill's, you know, my favorite. I talk about him a lot. But Superman the Animated Series really became something very special for me. And, you know, I just, he embodies everything that you love about superheroes, and he's a modern mythological figure in the tradition of, you know, like Hercules, and these are characters that are so much fun, and, you know, like, if you're really cool, you know, you'll grow up with them, and you'll have that special, you know, connection with them, and you get a little older, and, you know, as your wallet expands, you start to get the opportunity to collect a little more of what you enjoy, and hopefully, you know, with a good head on your shoulder, you'll just stay immersed in your passion and in your enthusiasm for the character, as like we do. And you know, it's Superman every day for me. Superman for all seasons, indeed.
Oh, that's fantastic, Steven. And I just love the fact that you can still watch this TV show today. And that's why we both do series. We talk about Superman, the animated series. You can still watch it today and feel like it was almost being made today. Like nothing much would need to change. Like obviously the animatronic or the animation would be a little bit different nowadays, but I think the storylines are very similar. And I think this is the best place to tell those storylines is in animation. I think that's the best place you can show it. You agree?
Absolutely. No, I could not agree more. You know, I love any representation of superheroes. And, you know, for us, like, you know, we grew up where we had like the Christopher Reeve movies, we had the Michael Keaton films. And so, like, you know, it's an interesting thing because I often think about like kids growing up today where you're immersed in superhero movies like one every other month, you know, maybe not so much right now, but, you know, yeah. You're immersed with that, you know, tradition of going to see a superhero movie, be it Marvel, be it DC. But for people like us, I mean, like, we, like, I remember, like, Batman Forever came out in 95, and then there wasn't really a superhero movie until 1997 with Batman and Robin. And then from Batman and Robin to, like, Batman Begins, that's when, like, the early Marvel movies started with, like, X-Men and Blade and the Spider-Man movies. So you had to just really enjoy what you get. But with Superman and with a lot of these characters, I think they work well in animation because it's naturally the next best platform that raises it out of the comic books. But for me, Superman, and it's something that I've said quite a few times on my own show, I feel like animation's the best medium for the character because it really just brings to life, you know, the scope of his world and his power. And as movies and as television shows have gotten, you know, as their budgets expanded where you could really bring to life this stuff, don't get me wrong, like his power in Man of Steel and Batman v Superman and Justice League, it's a very cool to watch, but there's such a charm to the animation of him, you know, like holding up a building or, you know, holding up train tracks or, you know, punching an alien in space. And he just, he works so well within that medium. He's the granddaddy of all the superheroes and he's essentially, you know, the granddaddy of all the superhero cartoons, you know, with the Fleischer shorts from 41. Bruce Timm absolutely, you know, was a school, you know, a student of that school of animation and, you know, brought Batman to life and Superman to life, as we all know. And it's just, there's such a charm to Superman cartoons and superheroes in cartoons that I feel like no matter how sophisticated a movie is, you don't really get that in live action like you do with animation. And Superman animated series is one of those highest points for cartoons.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you were talking about, especially in regards to the way they portrayed Superman in the animated series. And it actually comes out in this episode we're going to talk about, that being Father's Day. Whereas we see, you know, we can see Superman obviously with all these strengths and weaknesses, but you know that they don't portray him as the all-powerful in this series. But you saw in this episode, and we'll talk about later on, just a switch. If Superman wants to turn it on, you know, there's nothing that can defeat him. But there's a time and place when he'll just take it. And but as soon as he turns that switch, yeah, there's not going to be much to take him down. So we'll talk about it later on. So leading into that, let's get into this episode, Father's Day. All right, so the episode starts off on an apocalypse. We see a character who we learn to be named Desand. He has sent a probe or UAV-type device to Earth to gauge Superman's strength. We see a visual on Earth. We're in a park in Metropolis, and who other do we see running through the park is Lois Lane. As we see her running through around the park, I initially thought, I don't know if you saw it, I thought she had a Walkman on her belt or on her shorts, but then I realized she didn't have any earpods or anything like that. Then we learned it was her mobile phone that she had to go everywhere without. Did you have a bit of a laugh when you saw this scene?
I did. And, you know, it's one of the things that I love so much about Superman, the animated series, where Batman was kind of set in this, like, yesteryear where it's, like, set somewhat in the 40s, but set somewhat in modern day. I feel like, you know, the animators and, like, Bruce Timm, you know, they really leaned heavily into Metropolis being, you know, the city of tomorrow. And they leaned into that aspect of, like, what if, like, the World's Fair kept on going and people kept on inventing and people kept on working together, where it's a city that's futuristic. You know, the skyscrapers rise out of the city. almost like Dubai in a way, and like there are these like elevated highways. So I love the technology that's always depicted in Superman the Animated Series, and when we see that, it's like not a Walkman, but it's like not a recording device, but her phone and everything. It's like it's almost like the design of the cars. They're big and they're clunky, but they're futuristic, and it's so wonderful to see. And it's such a deliberate style that makes it so recognizable and so much fun.
Oh, exactly. And she uses that phone to great effect straight away. She calls the Daily Planet straight away. And as we go to the next scene, we see the Daily Planet, Clark and Jimmy walking together. This happened to be talking about Father's Day and the fact that his parents are coming into the city to celebrate Father's Day. And Clark does it as he does. He's always listening to other things going on, listens to the phone conversation of Lois in trouble. So obviously drops Jimmy, goes straight into the park to try and see what's going on. So as we know, Superman stops the probe. Desaad calls it his scream machine, which I thought was pretty funny, even though he was told to destroy it by Darkseid. What did you think about this whole thing about sending the probe to Earth and trying to gauge Superman's strength?
Yeah, I like it. And, you know, one of the inspirations for the design of Superman was the original Hercules cartoon. I remember Bruce Timm relaying a story in, I think it's a book called Modern Marvels. It's essentially a book that's one long interview with Bruce Timm. And he said that, like, you know, they were trying to crack the character. And I think Paul Dini brought in a VHS tape of Hercules. They put it on and Bruce Timm was like, stop, freeze it right there. They paused it. He drew Hercules, then like the Superman clothes over him. And it was like, that's Superman. That's what he's going to look like for our show. So when like Desaad and like Darkseid and like Manheim, they're all trying to figure out ways to like test Superman's strength and to monitor him and to kind of put him, you know, to the test. It reminds me very much of like Hercules journeys and like Hercules trials. Okay. And so I like this a lot because I love the fact that so much of Superman the Animated Series revolves around Apocalypse and Darkseid, basically Darkseid continually mounting a threat against Metropolis and the world, and Superman dealing that with that or reacting to that through intergang, but not really knowing the extent of the threat that's at hand and the threat that's to come. So when like the sphere comes out with like, it's like a laser and like a chainsaw and like all of this kind of wild stuff, it reminds me very much of an earlier episode when like Lex Luthor was testing Superman's strength. Yep. And I like that because I kind of like the idea of testing Superman because it reminds me very much of like the classic Greek mythology, you know, where it's like the demigod is being tested, you know, and we're seeing how strong he is and how, you know, durable he is. I loved it.
Oh, it reminded me very much of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. The first, I think it was in season 1 when Lex Luthor tries to test his strength as well. I thought that was very interesting, very similar in aspect, and same as you brought it up with in the animated series as well. So it's always interesting to see everyone's trying to gauge Superman's strength, not knowing how strong he really is. And I still think we don't know ourselves. Like we see it every different, you know, forms of media, comic books. We know he's strong and things you think, you know, that he's not going to be able to defeat, but he'll always not necessarily come out with strength, but always find a way to defeat that in some shape or form.
Oh, completely. I'd love to add to that very briefly. I love that Superman the Animated Series really captures how strong Superman is and how powerful he is, right down basically to the way he's drawn, where he's like a power lifter, he's a strong man, essentially. But I do love that they lean very heavily into the fact that, like, he's powerful and he's invulnerable, but he could still get the tar beaten out of him. Yeah. And I like that the machine does show you that, like, it gives Superman a little bit, you know, of a tough time, and like, you know, he like wipes his brow. He does that a lot in the episode Father's Day where he's getting beaten up and he's like, phew. He does that so many times. I wish I counted how many times he does it, but I love seeing that, especially in the opening of the episode, that like he'll get hit with something and it'll knock him like through a wall or it'll knock him down, but he just gets right back up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's definitely a motto for all of us to live by, is you get knocked down, but you can't get back up. And a little snippet as well, just quickly. I think the Incredibles movie got a lot of this little part in the Incredibles movie where Mr. Incredible gets, you know, attacked by the machete. That reminds me of that anyway. So after we learn that, so he has failed Darkseid. And as you mentioned before, we also see Bruno Mannheim. We last saw him, you know, I think at the end of season, Tools of the Trade, I think it was, we last saw Bruno Mannheim go to, you know, so we haven't seen him since then. I like that continuity, how they've done that. And then he wants to put Intergang back together, but Darkseid tells him, no one gets to fail me twice, Mr. Mannheim. So that's one thing to live by. We hear a voice in the darkness. We learn this to be Kellebec. Did you recognize the voice before? Are you a bit of a Star Trek fan? Did you know the voice of Kellebec?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I love Star Trek. Original series is my favorite. I grew up with Next Generation.
Yep, same. Yep.
So from, you know, like from the Gargoyles cartoon to, you know, some of the Spider-Man episodes, whenever like people like Michael Dorn or, you know, anybody would show up, it would be like, you know, it's like, oh, of course, you know, we know who that is. absolutely.
Yeah. I love the voice, of Kellebec, and it was good, the introduction of Kellebec to the episode, I thought. I like the fact that, you know, he went up to Darkseid. For those not knowing who Kellebec is, you know, we won't spoil it at this point in time. Okay, we will. We know, all know that it's his son, but I like how, not in this episode, but in episodes to come, they actually go through the story of, you know, him being his son and how it actually, and it's actually completely different to the way I would interpret it when I was younger. Did you have the same interpretation?
Yeah, very much so. And that's another thing, you know, like with like Superman, the animated series, you know, I think, you know, for anybody that watched it growing up, you know, you have to really rewatch these again. And for people that are only like tuning into it now, the quality of storytelling is fantastic. This episode of Father's Day was written by Mark Evanier and Steve Gerber. And, you know, it's with so many of the episodes, they're written with such, you know, just such intelligence. And like the story of Kellebec, it's sad, you know, it's a very sad and dark, you know, kind of, you know, dramatic, very Shakespearean kind of story. And, you know, when you start watching it later on and everything, it's just kind of like, oh my gosh. And I love Father's Day because the thing is, I think, you know, it has, there's some surprising moments in it, and we'll get to that later. But yeah, completely, you know, and rewatching it, like where you see it again, you know, like there's interpretations that you start to pick up on that. It really just kind of like hit you emotionally.
No, I totally agree. So Kellebec asked Darkseid, you know, do I want to go and destroy Superman for you? And Darkseid says no. Then you hear Bruno talk to Desar under his breath, basically tells him, you know, blah, blah, blah. Don't listen to him. And Darkseid hears this, and of course uses his Omega beams, which I thought was really strange because I've seen other interpretations. I'm guessing he can turn it really powerful. His Omega beams out of his eyes can be really powerful. Obviously, it can be used for teleportation, which I didn't remember that until I saw this scene. But he sent him obviously to the depths of Apocalypse so he can work down there. I remember in I was at the DCAU animated movie. I think it was Superman, Batman, Apocalypse, and you just saw that Omega beams he used then just looked like they were so powerful. And that was, I think, that was the one thing you thought that could destroy Superman. Whereas this, he obviously can use it as a teleportation.
This, you know, what I liked about this episode and with so many of the other episodes, they, you know, they wonderfully kind of pick apart elements of Superman across history, be it other, be it film appearances, be it television appearances, be it stuff from like the comic books, and so much of like the dark side stuff, like we know from like Jack Kirby and, you know, Fourth World and like, you know, New Gods and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that stuck out to me with a lot of the Superman animated series stuff in regards to like Darkseid and Kellebec and all of them is it really borrows from the John Byrne Superman Man of Steel run of comic books. And I could be wrong, but I remember, I can't cite the issue number, but there's an issue where Darkseid wants to get Superman, so he uses Omega beams in Metropolis. Of course, it's going after Clark Kent, and Clark Kent's running around the Omega Beam strike Clark Kent, bring him to Apocalypse, and then Clark Kent shows up, and they're like, this is Clark Kent, this isn't Superman, like, but the Omega Beams are never wrong in who they get, and then it's kind of like, oh, shoot, you know, this is Superman, this is why it got him. So it kind of takes a little bit from that, which is kind of fun.
Well, that's interesting. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. That's awesome. So the next thing we see is Desaad. So I think we all know that he's trying to sweet talk Kalibak because he wants to get on the good side of Darkseid. So he sweet talk Kalibak of going to Earth. And then he wants him to finally be accepted as the son. You know, he wants to be accepted as his son. We slowly start to get to learn who Kalibak is. And we see the boom tube, obviously, pressed by Desaad, and we see Kalibak get sent to Earth. And as we said before about not really knowing his background, but when we hear that for the first time, okay, so we now know that Kalibak's trying to prove himself as his son to his father.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so now back at the Daily Planet, we see Clark's parents are in the Daily Planet. This is the first time they've come to visit Clark since he's started working there. I think it's a bit of funly banter between, you know, Martha says, oh, we want to buy a computer. Then Jonathan's, you know, we don't need a computer to tell me what time I've got to feed the chickens. And then I think Jonathan goes back and says, I think your mother wants to surf the net. So we now know when, you know, like you said, you talked about the technology and stuff like that. Obviously, that's when it came around. Did you like the fact that, Martha and Jonathan are in this series complete rather than, you know, the old story of Jonathan dying before Clark leaves Smallville?
Oh, absolutely. And for that, it reminds me so much of like Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Yeah.
When I grew up, the Superman movies had already happened. I was born in 1989. And so the first live action Superman that I could really call my own was the Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher series. And in that we had, you know, Ma and Pa Kent throughout the whole series. And unlike, you know, like Superman, the movie. And then, of course, we had Smallville where, you know, Ma and Pa Kent were around for a bit.
Yeah.
And so I've always preferred Superman for Clark to have both his adopted parents. I love that family dynamic. And I love Ma and Pa Kent being around. I have no problem with, you know, Pa Kent being killed off, be it like in Man of Steel or in other versions of the story. But I love that Superman the Animated Series completed his world. You know, like he has his Earthbound world and he's very grounded in his family. And so I loved Ma and Pa Kent throughout the series. I love the voice talent that they had behind Ma and Pa Kent. You know, you can't go wrong with that. And in between their banter at the Daily Planet, I love that Lois Lane gets invited out. I like that Ma and Pa Kent, you know, they kind of like know who Lois is, and there's always that like wink and nod that like, oh, Clark, you know, he likes Lois Lane, and this is something we all know, and I like that, you know, that they have their plans and that they invite Lois to lunch. I quite like that very much.
I love the scene just after that when they got invited, then you see the look on Clark's face of embarrassment. And that's just typical. Like anybody's going to get embarrassed when their parents like embarrass them. I thought that was quite clever what they did.
Oh, completely. And you know, again, you know, like with like the voice talent and the animation, I feel like with Batman Animated Series, there was a little bit more detail to that world. I mean, of course, the animation style is very different, but I like the simplicity and colors and the designs in Superman the Animated Series, and it's so charming to watch, and there's a lot of like real human pathos and emotion that you get through each character, and this scene wonderfully like illustrates that and brings to life Clark's, you know, like his embarrassment and that whole sequence. It's perfect. And Tim Daly, he's a wonderful Clark Kent, he's a wonderful Superman, he's so understated and so cool. You know, at this time in the 90s, I think Father's Day was in 97. The show premiered in 96, and I think it was 97 when this episode aired. And so, like, between, you know, Tim Daly's Superman and CK and Dean Cain's Superman and CK, he was very cool at this time. He wasn't really bumbling at all. He was very, very cool and understated, and I like that.
And you bring a good point up. And like we saw Christopher Reeve in the original Superman movie, and the fact he wanted to make Superman and Clark Kent two totally different characters, and just the way Clark Kent represents himself. But I love the fact in Lois and Clark and the Adventures of Superman and the animated series, how Clark Kent was more of a confident. He can still portray him as two totally different characters, but he was more confident in what he was. Like he had a couple little bumbling funny moments, but he was just more confident in who he was. I think everyone respected him a lot more than they did probably in the movie.
Yeah, not to go off on too much of a tangent on the character, but one of the things I love about Superman Animated Series is the presentation of Clark Kent and Superman, and more so Clark Kent. Yeah. I love the bumbling aspect of Clark Kent. I love what Reeve did with the character. It was in Grant Morrison's Superman, All-Star Superman, and in the All-Star Superman movie, you see Superman very bumbling, but if I remember correctly, I think... I don't know if it's explicitly stated in the comic book. I haven't read that one in a while, but I remember in an interview, Grant Morrison said that his reasoning behind Superman being bumbling is that every time he's bumbling, he's actually saving a life or he's saving somebody from something. And you get a little snippet where like he's crossing the street, but he bumps into somebody. But in bumping into somebody, he keeps them from like getting hit by a car, like a brick hitting them. And so I like that there's a reason behind that. And, you know, it serves its purpose that, you know, you want them to be very different. But I like Superman being very cool and just being very confident. And the same with Clark Kent. And with Superman, the animated series, he's very understated. He's quiet, you know, and he's very collected. He's a little bit like, Clark Kent in Mark Waid's Superman Birthright, which is actually my favorite Superman comic of all time. And I like where Clark Kent, he's a little shy, he's a little insecure, but you know, he's very cool. And he's somebody that you could easily imagine hanging out with, you know, having like a beer or soda with, and like, he's somebody that you could really sit down and hang out with. And you might not necessarily know that he's Superman, but you know, there's a deliberate quality to him that I don't think you really get in the bumbling performance.
That was very well said. I didn't hear that Grant Morrison take on it before. It makes perfect sense actually now that you bring that up, because I remember seeing that in the animated movie where he actually trips over, hits someone else, and actually saves them. I think part of the bridge fell down, so that makes perfect sense. Don't worry about going on tangents. I love going on tangents, so if you feel free, just talk about anything. That's amazing. That's awesome. Lois is joining Clark's parents to go to a restaurant. I like the little snippet where, you know, Martha says, "Oh, this place is too expensive." And then Jonathan says, "If the boy wants to indulge, just let him." I thought that was pretty cool.
But how much is Clark Kent making? Because the thing is, like, his whole way of getting a job at the Daily Planet is very flimsy at best. I think Man of Steel kind of goes a little bit into this, where it's clear that Lois Lane got him the job, or depending on the take. You know, like, there are some takes where it's like, no, he went to school for journalism, he did it, and he went about it. But there are other ways where it's kind of almost like Clark Kent's a bit of like a con man or a fraud, where his work history is very spotty. Yeah. And so I like when, like, she's, like, talking about the expensive nature of the restaurant. It's like, okay, like, how much is Clark Kent making? Because, like, we've seen his, like, apartment or loft in other episodes, and it's quite, like, you know, nice and everything. Yeah. Like, I want to know how much he makes. I want to know.
And I get the feeling he's always making more than Lois is, and she's supposed to be the more intrepid reporter. So obviously money was good back in those days. The thing I find funny in this next scene is Kalibak arrives on Earth, but what other restaurant for him to walk into than, you know, the restaurant? And I like how he goes straight up to the guy at the front desk and says, "Is Superman normally found in this area of Metropolis?" And I thought that was a little bit too coincidental.
It's funny, because the thing is, what I like about Kalibak is I not only love the way he's animated, because he's like this big brutish kind of, you know, like this, like he's a monster, and he's like big, furry, and everything. And then also, you know, one of the great things about it is that, like, okay, like, you know, you have Michael Dorn voicing Kalibak, and so he brings that booming, gruff, you know, sturdy quality to the character. And it's like, okay, I want to just imagine what it would be like to be living in Metropolis in the world of Superman Animated Series, where out of nowhere, like, people like Kalibak just burst in and they're like demanding where Superman is. And that happens a few times, I think, in season one, where like the main man, where like Lobo does the same thing. He just kind of comes out and he's like throwing people around looking for Superman. It's kind of like, this is like the Wild West where people are like just getting beaten up, you know, and it's funny. It's hilarious to watch, and it's straight comedy, but it lends itself to that charming quality of Superman animated series.
As the fight scene's going on, we go back to Apocalypse for a little bit, and we see that Darkseid's now learned that Kalibak's kind of betrayed him and gone to Earth. But what did you take? How did you take the fight scene in general? Did you enjoy watching the fight scene? Did you find it predictable? Or
oh no, I love the fight scenes in Superman the animated series, and you know, like, there's that trope, of course, that as you see enough episodes, you know that Superman's going to get beaten up first, and then he's going to come out strong at the end. Yep. You see it with, like, Metello. You see it with Parasite. But I like the way the fight scene plays out, especially because, like, this is, like, an occasion where you're seeing Superman go toe-to-toe with, like, one of Darkseid's minions. And there's a little bit more to that than, like, a battle with, like, you know, like Metello or Parasite or even Livewire. You know, there's a little bit more at stake to it. And I like that you have two, you know, very powerful people fighting each other. And so be it, you know, him throwing like Superman around and seeing Superman like wipe his brow, or, you know, just Superman throw a couple punches and stuff. And then, you know, you get to the part, of course, with his father where he gets trapped and he has to like leave, like he has to do all of that. I like it a lot, and I'll never grow tired of just seeing Superman, the animated series version, just like fight.
Yeah, it's not like Smallville when he just throws him, you know, throws the other character 30 or 40 meters away and goes, yeah, okay, the fight's over. So at least it gets a little bit of a battle scene.
And I know Man of Steel is a film that, you know, it's very polarizing to Superman fans where people either really love it or they really hate it. But one thing has to be said, that Zack Snyder, he's a very visual director, and you know, I can't think of somebody more perfect to bring to life the power of Superman and the strength of Superman. And so there's a lot of Superman animated series in those fight scenes where it's him like just going, you know, toe to toe with someone, and it's fun to watch because we never really saw it. You know, we never really fully saw it in the original movies or in the shows and stuff. And Superman animated series was really one of the first incarnations of the character where we see how tough he is, and that's really kind of refreshing to see, as opposed to like, you know, the good natured Boy Scout. And he's still very much a Boy Scout, but he's also very strong.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like how there's little in-jokes there's one in this episode. I remember one, I think it's back in season one or the start of season two, there's a little snippet where Martha accidentally yells out, I think he's yelling out, "Be safe, oh, Clark, I'll watch behind you, Clark." And Lois goes, "Where's Clark?" And there's the same scenario, I can't remember which episode it was, where you know, Lois is trying to get behind Clark and go, how come you get to all these stories? He goes, well, you know, in secret, I'm actually disguised as, you know, Clark Kent, blah, blah, blah. And I'm Superman. And she goes, yeah, well, whatever, Clark. You know, I just like how they throw those little things in an episode here. And it's almost going back to the George Reeves, you know, like at the end of the episode where it's like everyone knows who Superman is, but that's like they're throwing that in the Superman the animated series episodes.
You even get that in, like, you know, especially like right now with me covering it, you know, the Fleischer animated shorts.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, all of them end where it's that, where he like looks through the screen and he winks and like, it's like, yeah, we all know Clark Kent's Superman. And the joke never gets old. It's always fun. It's always, always entertaining to see.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. So towards the end of the fight scene, we see Superman hears Kalibak say, I shall prove my worthiness to my father. So when I first heard that, going back years ago, when I first watched this episode, initially I thought, Superman was going, okay, so I'm now fighting you. Who is your father? So that means obviously straight away there's going to be a, you know, like the big baddie, so to speak. But after watching it again today, it was the other way around. I was like, hang on a minute. Clark then remembers, well, my father is still in the rubble as I'm still in this fight scene. And then it clicked to me straight away. I said, hang on a minute. Why is your father still in the rubble? Shouldn't someone else have been saving your father while you're fighting Kalibak? I thought that was pretty interesting to see the fact that, you know, during this whole fight scene, poor, you know, Jonathan Kent still stuck in rubble in this restaurant. Everyone's outside. No one's gone to rescue him. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like they're, you know, like they're not the, like the emergency medical crews in Metropolis and Superman, they're not really the most responsive. And it's kind of like, almost like, I don't know if it's something to be said about like the insurance rates or something, but it's kind of like a hands-off approach. Like, look, we see something like this going on, like we're like just actively stepping away from it. So like when you think about the reality of it, yeah, it's like, okay, like Jonathan Kent is trapped and like this is really serious, but it's kind of also like, oh yeah, he's trapped, but like we know Superman's gonna save him.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So we see this time he actually throws Kal-El back into the distance, but where he ends up after, you know, Superman saves Jonathan, goes chasing after him. Then we find Darkseid's come to Earth. You know, he's come through the boom tube, uses his Omega beams again. And I must admit, when I first saw the episode, I thought he killed Kal-El back, especially after we...
Well, absolutely, yeah. And when the first time I saw it and you see Kal-El back get hit with the, like, the Omega beam, it's like a really shocking moment, because the thing is, like, Superman animated series doesn't really shy away from like the fact that, like, I mean, like, people die, you know. I don't want to spoil anything, but like we all know that, you know, like a major player does die within the animated series.
Yep.
And so when Kal-El back gets hit, but also like Superman sees it, it's kind of like, you know, like, oh my gosh, because Superman also kind of like, there's like a moment where like Superman kind of has sympathy for Kal-El back. And like, yeah, you see the human side of Clark, where it's like he's fighting him and he recognizes that he's a threat, but also kind of like with the whole father angle, you know, it's like this is somebody's son who's clearly misguided and he doesn't want to really, like, you know, he's not going to kill him, you know, he's not going to like do anything like that, and he's going to stop him, of course. But when Superman sees that, you also kind of see like the ruthlessness of Darkseid. And of course, Superman didn't grow up to that, because Superman grew up, you know, in love. You know, he grew up where his parents, you know, they died to save him, and he grew up, you know, with Ma and Pa Kent, you know, in a home of love. And so I think for Superman to see that, he kind of recognizes something in Darkseid that he's clearly aligned against. And seeing Kal-El back get hit with that Omega beam, it's I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that is absolutely a striking point to this episode.
I think even as a kid watching this, well, I wasn't a kid at the time, I was a teenager, but watching this for the first time and, you know, just watching that at the end, you know, that's probably one of the darkest ending to one of the episodes that I've seen in a long time. Even though, you know, spoilers, we know that, you know, Kalibak's not dead, and he comes back. But yeah, that was definitely not the ending, I think we're all, but I think initially as well, the fact that we know that Mannheim got hit with the Omega beams at the start of the episode, but we saw where he went. I think it was just the fact we didn't actually see where Kal-El back went, is what got us all, you know, tripping a little bit. But then we go back to Apocalypse and we see, you know, we know there's a hint to something else bigger is going to happen later on down the end of, especially as we know it's going to happen the end of season two. And I love the fact that there's little bits like this episode that you see Darkseid leading up to what's going to be bigger and a much larger part of the episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I really enjoyed about when I had rewatched season one of Superman, the animated series for my show, Saturday Morning Superman Show, was the fact of how layered the series was, where, you know, through Bruno Mannheim, through Intergang, through Desaad, you know, through Kanto, through all these characters, they really build the dark side story in such an interestingly textured way. And that's kind of one of the things where it's like, I've often thought, well, like, you know, like Superman, the animated series really kind of did it first, where, you know, like I like the Marvel movies. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm not like a DC Marvel, like you have to be one or the other kind of guy. But I kind of feel like if you look at like Superman, the animated series for a program that was in 96, 97 to like everything that they did with like Thanos, you know, across those movies, it's like Superman, the animated series kind of did it first. And they did it with Darkseid, and they did it in this series. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like, you know, this show should be championed even more. And I'm glad to be talking about it, because I feel like this episode perfectly shows us, you know, how the threat of Darkseid's building and how there's more to come, where, you know, at some point him and Superman are going to clash, and it's not going to be pretty.
No, it's true. And that pretty much finishes up this episode. So in conclusion, that completes another episode of Superman the Animated Series. The episode rated a 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb, and Jeffrey Taylor from the Superman homepage gave it a 4 out of 5. I don't normally give an episode a rating when I do my podcast. I normally give it would I watch it again? And I definitely would. I definitely think this is definitely an episode I'd love to watch again. I think it's a good introduction of Kalibak. I love any time you see Darkseid in Superman the Animated Series. It's just something you just need to see. Michael Ironsiders, that voice is just very iconic. And I love that character and what he brings to the series itself. Although I love the fight scene between Kalibak and Superman. I love the little introduces of the parents and Lois and all that little fun in jokes and stuff like that. I would have liked a better ending with regards to, that's the only thing about this episode. I would have liked, we see the ending on Apocalypse. Would have been interesting to see. Do we end up doing Father's Day for, Pa Kent in Metropolis on the completion? Happy ending like that. But obviously they're setting it up for larger things later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like, the Superman animated series, it works so well in that there's not really that many episodes that I don't really enjoy watching. So Father's Day is absolutely... it's definitely an episode that I would rewatch. It's definitely an episode that I would consider an essential viewing. If you just want to explore the whole Darkseid Superman conflict, Father's Day is an episode that you absolutely kind of have to watch because it's the first time Superman encounters Darkseid.
Yep.
When they both encounter each other in the park area, it's the first time that Superman sees him and Darkseid is face to face with him. And like you said, you have Michael Ironside voicing Darkseid, you have Tim Daly voicing Superman, and they're bringing so much to the performance. But one of the things that I kind of feel like about Superman is I really love Clark Kent, and I kind of feel like in all the depictions, you have to really you get a little bit of Clark Kent, but in Superman Returns, if you will, it's there's so many wonderful moments with Clark Kent, but there's not really that many moments with Clark Kent. And I'd love to see more of the Father's Day, play out. I'd like to see, him, Lois, Ma and Pa Kent all sitting down talking to one another. Yeah. I think My Girl, My Girl's an episode that I was speaking of this morning because there's a callback to the Mechanical Monsters. But My Girl, you get to see a lot of Clark Kent and Superman with Lana Lang. Yep. And you get to see him in his private life. And so I would have liked to have seen more of that play out. Even if you just finally see them together eating or going to catch a show together and the camera pulls out, it would have been cool to end that way. But I get that it ends with, Apocalypse, and it's setting it up that there's more to come, and it kind of leaves you wondering oh my gosh, what's going to happen with this and where can it go? And of course, if you're watching this for the first time, back when it aired or now, it's going to go places and some places that I don't think people are going to expect for sure.
No, totally. So what I do now on the podcast, I do a little bit of trivia, things that I've found out. And if you've got anything to add, please feel free to jump on in. So as you mentioned, so this episode expands on the events from Tools of the Trade, as we spoke about earlier on in the podcast. Kalibak offers to kill Superman and Apocalypse Now as well, but Darkseid refuses. The war between Superman and Darkseid grew into a major saga throughout the DCAU, as we all know, leading into Apocalypse Now later on in Season 2, but also going into Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. And that's just one thing that we spoke about. Darkseid was a big character in Superman the Animated Series, but also followed in the DCAU. It followed in Justice League, and it followed in... I like how they use that continuity throughout the DCAU, not just Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah, with Superman the Animated Series, and just if you're going for a second mention the DCAU as a whole, everything that Warner Brothers and DC did with these animated series, was the template for building a universe was right there. And again, they did it before we saw what would happen with Marvel. And I feel like with Superman the Animated Series, it goes off as a companion series to Batman the Animated Series, but if you really want to explore the greater DC world, Superman's that entry point into that, because he's he's an intergalactic hero, he's a cosmic character, And so while Batman's very world-based, you can expose yourself more to that bigger, larger world out there through Superman. And in a lot of ways, like when you get to like Justice League, you know, season one, so much of it builds off of what they did with Superman animated series. So I kind of feel like that, you know, is nothing to really sneeze at. And it's absolutely something that needs to be considered because it's such an important part of the animated series, not only for Superman, but for the DCAU as a whole. And it's still stuff that people are talking about to this day of how well it was done.
I agree with you in the fact that there wouldn't be a Superman the Animated Series without Batman the Animated Series, but I believe, and I think you just brought up just then, is that Justice League and Justice League Unlimited were a product of Superman the Animated Series. Like, they brought in snippets from Batman the Animated Series, but I think without the success of, like, don't get me wrong, Batman the Animated Series was amazing, and I love the fact that people still talk about it today, but when you talk about Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, I personally believe that's just a continuation of Superman the Animated Series. And without that, I don't think we'd have the cries for, bring back Justice League and Justice League Unlimited as we do today. I think without Superman the Animated Series, you wouldn't have a Justice League or Justice League Unlimited.
No, not at all. Absolutely. And, you know, with the animated series, like when you look at them, you know, I think, you know, Batman kind of like sits, you know, above them all, but I think for anybody that really loves DC, you know, they kind of go from like Batman to like Justice League. I think Justice League is kind of like the next one that's really spoken about. And, you know, I get it. I mean, like, you're getting all the characters like Flash and Green Lantern and all of that. But, you know, Superman animated series, like, not to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, like, we meet the Flash and Aquaman and Green Lantern first in Superman animated series. And it's almost kind of like, you know, you have Man of Steel that kind of launches the DCEU in a way. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, like, they did it with Superman animated series. So, like, why not? Superman animated series, you know, it needs to be, like, remembered in the sense that, like, it really set the tone and the template for what the DCAU would look like. And in a lot of ways, I mean, like, it's still kind of, like, felt to this day with, like, even, like, the DCAU films where, I think like the first one was Superman Doomsday, but then like they all kind of like went on from there. And it's kind of like, you could tell a Batman story, but it's very world bound and it's very earthbound. But if you tell a Superman story, you can really open the door for a lot of possibilities. And then like once people kind of buy into that world, then like when you see something like Superman, Batman, Public Enemies or Superman, Batman, Apocalypse, you're totally on board with it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I love that I know they're all based off just comic books, those DCAU movies, but just the way that, and you watch Superman Doomsday, and you can almost say it's almost looks like Superman, the animated series, like just the way that it was filmed and the way that the animation looks, you can almost you're watching Superman, the animated series. And that's what I loved about the start of the DCAU movies. Leading into the last bit of trivia for this episode, so as you already alluded to, so this is the first meeting of Superman and Darkseid. I love the fact he never actually said his name was Darkseid. He just, as he's going back through the broom tube, he just said, just beware of Darkseid. So he never actually stated that I am Darkseid, but we all know who he is. Anyway, but this is the first introduction of Desaad and Kalibak as well. And just going back to the maitre d' at the Minerva, at the Minerva, so the guy at the front of the restaurant. So it resembles G. Carl Francis from Batman, the animated series episode, The Laughing Fish. Conspicuously, both are actually voiced by George Dunza, so Perry White. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
The voice cast in Superman, the animated series is just truly wonderful. And every actor that day that was on board for the show really brought something to the character. And I kind of feel like when you now like if you look at the comic books, it's like the way a lot of people feel about Kevin Conroy. It's like with all the voice work that was done in Superman the animated series, it's kind of hard to find that, like, when you're reading a comic book, that you don't hear, you know, like Tim Daly or Dana Delaney, you know, or any of those people, especially Michael Ironside. You know, he really brought to life Darkseid, and that's kind of like the voice we all hear.
And I don't know about you, like I was a big fan of Smallville, but I really wanted to hear Michael Ironside as Darkseid in season 10 of Smallville. That was my dream, and it was crushed. But when I hear Darkseid, Michael Ironside is my Darkseid.
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, you know, like Michael Ironside, you know, I love Michael Ironside from Total Recall.
Yep.
You know, I'm a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, and he was so great in that movie, and like, he's great in everything that he's done, but you know, that there's that voice that he has to Darkseid where it's just kind of like, oh, wow. And so, it's funny that you mentioned Smallville, because I love Smallville very much. You know, you kind of get a tease of it, you know, in that last episode. There's such a tease of Apocalypse and Darkseid. And so I'm hoping that, like, when we do get around to Zack Snyder's Justice League, which, you know, Darkseid's going to be in some capacity, I hope, I think Ray Porter is the person who's going to be voicing him or playing him. I hope we all enjoy it. I'm sure we will, but, you know, I'm Michael Ironside. It's Michael Ironside. He's always going to be Darkseid to us.
Yeah, I totally agree. So that's another episode down. Hope you had fun listening to it as I did making it. It'd be great to hear from you. Please rate and review this episode. Tell me what you thought of this episode. Did you like it? Did you dislike it? Please subscribe. I'd like to be able to share our love for Superman in the animated space to everyone who wants to hear it. Again, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who listens to the podcast. Hopefully the numbers of the podcast can grow and we can get a bigger audience and get everyone talking about Superman in the animated space. So, Stephen, where can everyone find you out there on the internet if they're looking for you?
Absolutely, yeah. No, if you love Superman and Superman and his various animated forms, as we mentioned before, I do have a podcast of my own called The Saturday Morning Superman Show. We're currently on season 2. Season 1 explores the Bruce Timm animated series. Season 2 explores the Fleischer animated series. We're on CastBox, Stitcher, Podbean, and Spotify. And on social media, you can find us across Instagram and Twitter. Instagram is Saturday Morning Superman Show, and Twitter is Sat Superman Show. And then if you're so inclined and you just want to see like what I'm up to, be it, you know, stuff about Superman or whatever, I'm on Instagram at Sherbert Danny Jr. I say follow me on Superman. You know, that's the more exciting stuff that you want to see, and hopefully you'll enjoy my show as much as you enjoy this show.
Yeah, so definitely go along and follow Stephen. I follow all of his social medias, and it's amazing seeing what he gets up to. And if you love Superman collection, he has an awesome Superman animated collection, and I would definitely get on board and have a look at that. I'd love to see it in person. So if you're listening to this podcast, obviously you found us somewhere. Hopefully you can find us on all your favorite podcatchers. As for me personally, you can find us on social media, on Twitter, at Sup Animated Pod, or at the M-Word 81. You can also find us on Facebook at the M-Word 81. You can also find the podcast and other Superman DC things related on the webpage, www.themword81.com, or you can send us an email at themword81@yahoo.com. You can find all of this information and Stephen's as well in the show notes provided below. So thanks again, Stephen. Thank you very much for coming onto the podcast. It'd be great to have you on later on. Maybe when we talk about Apocalypse Now and talk about Darkseid again, that'd be great to have you on later on down the track.
Oh, no, I'd love to. You know, I love Superman the Animated Series. I can't stress enough how much it's my favorite version of Superman. So I can't thank you enough for inviting me on your show. I had so much fun talking about Father's Day with you. Especially, you know, amidst Father's Day weekend. And I do want to make mention that as this episode's being recorded, it's June 13th, and 7 years ago on June 13th, Man of Steel had its early previews in theaters, and then it, of course, opened in theaters on June 14th. So to kind of have this moment with you in this very special Superman weekend, all but a day after Superman Day, it's been a lot of fun. And I can't wait to continually listen to your show. And I'd love to be back whenever you'd want to have me.
Well, thank you very much. It was great to have you on board, Stephen. And I look forward to it again in the future. So once again, thank you very much for listening. Tune in next time. I am Nathan McKenzie. This is Superman, the Animated Podcast. The new theme music for Superman the Animated Podcast is called Super Epic by Alexander Karanda. You can find this at serpentsoundstudios.com, and the music is promoted by chozik.com.